Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm here with my co-host, Clint McPherson. What's up, brother?
Not much, man. I'm just living that entrepreneurial life like always. But let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guests to the show today, Janice Carmina, to the show. How are you doing?
Very well. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Janice. It's an honor to have you on. Before we get into everything, can you just tell us who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah, my name's Janice. I live in Victoria, British Columbia. I'm actually in the middle of moving onto a boat, which is quite an adventure right now.
Sounds like fun.
But I'm a police officer full-time. I'm just about to retire. And I do Amazon. And Amazon's become my life. And now I coach others to basically develop their own products and sell them on Amazon and just live the life you want to.
I love it.
That's awesome.
That's why we... get individuals like yourself on the show. So as a police officer, and you've been one for over 16 years now, going on 17, right? And like you just mentioned, congratulations on getting close to retirement. Thank you for your service. I was in the Army, you know, so I really believe anybody like first responders, anybody that's out there putting their life on the line on a daily basis needs to be recognized. And I appreciate you for that. But as a part-time CEO, right, developing products to sell on Amazon, and now the founder of the e-commerce Queen Bee, which is cool. Can you take us back, our listeners, back to when your entrepreneurial journey actually started and what it is about entrepreneurship that you're excited about?
It was about 5 years ago, actually. So, well, you know how schedules are weird and probably in the Army too. My schedule of policing was like 2 days, two nights, 4 days off. And I was a little bit bored on the 4 days off and just looking for some extra cash into the family, right? I had two kids growing. God, school activities are so expensive. I'm serious. And I have a teenage son who eats me out of house and home. Like that kid can eat. So it was like, okay, a little bit of extra cash. And, you know, I don't like living paycheck to paycheck. It's kind of sucks. So it was trying to figure out how can I do that? So I found myself one night on my computer, how to make money at home, Googling, right? How to make an extra cash. And it took me a bit. And then suddenly I found this thing called sell on Amazon. And I was like, huh? What do you mean sell on Amazon? You mean anybody can sell on Amazon? I had no clue. Guys, like no clue. I thought
so you were starting Amazon, from ground zero with that.
Ground zero. I thought Amazon sold everything that they sold on there. I didn't realize it was a bunch of sellers. So it went on and on. And then I discovered private label, which is basically I found my own products and I launched them under my own brand. And it just grew exponentially from there. So it started as a side gig. And it's basically kind of taken over my life because it's such an amazing way of making passive income. Amazon sells stuff for me 24/7 while I sleep, right? And then I got hurt last year in a foot chase. So let's just say my 20-year-old brain told my 47-year-old body that, yes, I should chase this bad person and catch him. And anyways, it just all went bad. We did catch him, but I hurt myself badly. And then it was like, okay, well, I can't work patrol anymore, which is what I love to do. That was my dream, right? Go out there and help people wear a uniform. I loved it. I've been doing it for like 16 years. It was like, now what? So I reached back to my teaching degree, which is what I actually have from a long time ago, and said, well, I love teaching and helping people. So why don't I help people do what I do with Amazon? And it's really given me that sense of fulfillment. And that's exactly what the entrepreneur life has given me. It's that sense of something, it's something you own, something that you can build. And it's just that, again, that sense of fulfillment that just makes life amazing because you never know what you're going to wake up to in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I think that potential, we've said it before on the show, but I think for most entrepreneurs, it's the potential every day. You know, what can we do? What can you do the next day? It's just so exciting to think about. Sometimes overwhelming, you know, I sort of have to rein it in sometimes and think, all right, I got to focus on the exciting things, but there's just so much potential. You know, I could do outreach to these different companies and partner with them. And, you know, all these different potential things, or launch a new product on Amazon, or, you know, I got to improve my listing on, I also sell on Amazon. I have a product line that I sell. So, you know, it's like, you know, what can we do to increase sales? And should we be diverting some of our traffic from our website to our Amazon page so that we, you know, we can get more sales and more and better rank and more reviews and all that stuff. But yeah, I think it's just the potential is what's so exciting every day.
Well, it's a natural high, right? Especially when you wake up in the morning, you see the sales that came in overnight.
Oh, you're like, yeah,
sweet. Okay, now what? How do I make more sales, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's not too much better than that is waking up to sales, you know, like that is the ultimate. You wake up and you get that, you know, or maybe every once in a while in the middle of the night, I'll forget to turn my ringer off and I'll hear the cha-ching from Shopify or, you know, or Etsy. And I'm like, all right, you know,
You've got everything automated too. So really, like with me, everything's automated. So the orders come in, it goes to, like with the website and sales funnel, it goes to ShipStation. ShipStation goes to my shipper. They ship everything out. I really don't have to do anything except stay in what I call my zone of intelligence, which is developing products and launching products and doing the YouTube videos and talking to people and making those relationships that increase sales.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're the face of the brand, or at least you're doing the work to promote the brand and kind of put all the pieces together. But yeah, you really do need to have a good automated system, because otherwise, you know, the idea is to scale it. And if you scale it without a good system, it's just, you're just going to drive yourself nuts. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
You definitely need the right people to help you scale.
Oh, for sure. You need the right people. And again, like you just said, staying in your zone of intelligence is where you should be, right? Do not, like we've talked about this on past shows, do not try to dabble in things that unless you want to learn it yourself, don't sit there and waste time, because again, you're running into a dead end unless you want that to be your zone of genius, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that we try to do. And as entrepreneurs, you want your hands in everything. You want to do everything. You want to know how to do everything you want. But at the end of the day, it's like, why? You know, you're just wasting a lot of hours learning. Then now something changes. And then now you're like, okay, well, what I learned last year on this is not the same. It's changed here, the algorithm here. And it's just like, it's a pain in the butt. So stay what you're good at. Try to close those sales, make those relationships, and do what you do best, and actually hire somebody or find the right team member, like you said, to help you scale. Because that's, at the end of the day, if you're not trying to scale, or if you're happy with where you're at, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you want to scale business or make more money, because, you know, you always want to say, okay, if I made $120,000 this year, how, you know, if I have the right system in place, and that's with the broken system, right? It's like, if I put the right system in place, where can I actually take this? Can I hit that $1 million mark, right? Because that's my goal. And if it's just a simple fix of making a system work, then that's what I need to do. So I like that for sure.
Well, that's exactly it. It's like with when you make an Amazon listing. Yeah, you've got a product. You're going to launch an Amazon. Perfect. But you need great photos. I don't do Photoshop. I don't know how to make the photos. I get the idea, but I'm going to hire someone to make professional photos. Same as copywriting. Right? Copywriting is so important when you're creating your Amazon listing, right? It sells. So why would I not hire the right copywriter to make that listing for me instead of me trying to figure it all out? No.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a hard thing to figure out. You know, we've talked about it a lot, Clint and I, you know, with other guests as well, but it is really hard to know when. I think we feel like, you know, we should be doing everything ourselves. And we also, I think, get some, you know, sometimes we'll get some advice, some outside advice, like, oh, you know, you could do that. Why don't you just do it? It's like, yeah, I can do it. You know, I can also mow the lawn, but like, but I'd rather, you know, I'd rather hire somebody for $50 to do that when I can be focusing on better things. You know, whether that's work or, you know, or having fun. But yeah, it really does make a lot of sense to invest in the things that you're not as good at, and or you just don't have the time to do. And then that also helps with your system, because if your system relies on you doing everything, then, you know, if you ever wanted to sell that business, it's impossible, because you have to sell yourself. And that's, you know, nobody wants to buy a company where you need a particular person in order for it to survive. The business has to stand on its own. So
that's true. It's like my son worked, so he's 17, and this year he worked at an assembly line company. Figure that one out, right? And he looked at his assembly line, he's like, "Mom, there's a huge bottleneck right there. And I really know how they can fix it, but I'm 17, they're not listening to me." But I took his words and I'm like, you know what? That's what's happening in the life of the entrepreneur life, is you've got these entrepreneurs who think they can do everything and they become the bottleneck. So there's no way you can scale your business if you're going to try to do everything. So it's really hard to, I don't know, especially with me, it's really hard to give up that control because it's your baby too. But have to be able to give up that control and put the processes in place and trust that someone can do that task better than you.
Yeah, definitely. And know that it's going to be transitioning to that is probably going to be a bumpy ride for in the beginning. You know, it's not going to work out like, oh, I'm just going to hire all these people and they're going to do everything perfectly and everything's going to be smooth. It's going to take some time to really work that out and figure out the process.
I thank gosh for my Trello board every day. Because my team is all over the world. So we just operate right on Trello and everybody's got their tasks and their checklists that they have to do and get it done. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah. So yeah, as we talked about before, you help entrepreneurs build their own private label product lines to sell on Amazon, eBay, through their own websites. You help people with sales funnels. What is that process like for you? And do you have a tried and true methods that help your clients to scale their business and gain that confidence, you know, that they need to really feel like they can actually quit their full-time job?
Yeah, I do a program called 4 Degrees of Brand, right? And the 4 Degrees of Brand is, the first one is doing the research and choose. And I think that's the key with people when they first starting to figure out Amazon is they don't choose the product. They think they get stuck in analysis paralysis, I call it. Like all they do is research, research, research. I'm like, will you just choose a product, at least run with it? Because you can always backtrack. And I think that's what people don't realize. If the product isn't, like once you get samples and stuff, if the product doesn't work, you don't have to launch it, right? Backtrack, start doing research again, but please make the choice. So it's really helping people get past that analysis process and making the choice, right? So you research and choose. And then we get our samples, right? And we guide the people through the process of really developing that relationship with the manufacturer. Because that's the key with manufacturers. Like, yeah, they're helping you out, but you have to develop the relationship and realize that that's a real person on the other end. And the better the relationship, the better deal you're going to get on your products. And really form that relationship with the buyer, with the manufacturer. Even if it's a manufacturer on Alibaba, you still have to realize that that's a real person with a family and everything like that and care about them. And if you care about them, they're going to care about you and it's going to work in a nice cohesive relationship. And then we talk about ordering and testing, like I said, and getting those samples, right? And really test them. And this is a key, like I'll actually do Facebook ads for items that I have that I haven't even launched yet, right? Because I want to test the market. I want to see there before I even spend money on buying products. And I have a person that does that for me. And we talk about that whole process of using the Facebook ads to see if the market's there. And then also with samples is try selling them on Facebook Marketplace or a local used, like here in Victoria, British Columbia, we have Used Victoria, right? Try selling it online. Does anybody want to buy it first? Before you go buy 1,000 units, right? Figure out if someone wants to buy it, right? And then we really talk about differentiation. Because I think that's huge. Don't just launch the same thing that everybody else has. What makes yours different? Right? And you probably know that yourself, Andrew. That's the big thing is you have to stand out from the crowd. So whether it's the packaging, whether it's something extra you've put in the in your product, whether it's the story behind it. And I really sell with stories. All my product lines have massive stories behind them. And I become the attractive character behind that story. Like I have no problem saying, this is my product line. This is what we do. This is the story behind it. Right. And then we get right into the finding the designer, designing and manufacturing and what to do during those. It's usually 45 days while you're waiting for your product to come. What to do in those 45 days, whether it's Getting your Facebook page going, getting your website going, whether it's Shopify, getting your Instagram going, starting to build that excitement about your new product, right? I love YouTube and podcasts because they're evergreen, right? Where you put on there, it's there forever versus Facebook and Instagram, your posts disappear. And then it's listing and selling, right? How do you list and sell? How do you launch? And so we lead you right through that process, and it's step by step by step, really simplified, so people aren't getting overwhelmed. So that's the key.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Something that you're going to be able to come back to and continue to work on and not get too overwhelmed. Yeah.
Exactly. And then lots of bonuses about how to scale, because I love sales funnels. I use sales funnels all the time. Mm-hmm. And because with Amazon, love Amazon, but Amazon keeps their customers.
Oh yeah.
You know that. And key with me, and the key with any business, is that email list. You need to build your list. And yeah. I'm a proponent of that. So what I use is sales funnels where I give away Amazon promo codes, right? So if you want a promo code for Amazon, they enter into my website, say, yeah, I buy on Amazon. I would love a promo code for your product.
Yeah.
You're in their email, which is basically their currency. I get the email, which is key for me. I send them a promo code and I show them exactly on the next page how to search for the product. So if I want keyword ranking, I tell them, please search for this keyword.
Oh, that's smart.
Amazon, right? And then scroll down and find that product and buy it and put the promo code in there. It's all in pictures.
So oh, that's smart, man.
Amazon. Yeah.
I've actually never heard that before, that exact method. And I like that. Yeah. Amazon, it's all data, and it's constantly learning, right? So if somebody searches a keyword and buys your product, then you're going to start to rank higher for that keyword. Yeah. And the nice thing with Amazon is that, at least as of now, I think it is, your rank remains constant, or it doesn't go down. Like if you're advertising for a particular keyword on Amazon, and your rank improves, it's going to stay there whether you stop advertising or not. I mean, I think I have heard that you should always be running like at least a trickle of ads, and even if it's $5-$10 a day, just to like keep something going. But at least your rank stays. Whereas with Google, as soon as you stop running ads, you're done.
Yeah. So. Well, it's been interesting right now because Facebook ads are hugely expensive with the election going on, right? It's insane. So we've been really moving to YouTube ads and Google ads, and I've been noticing a lot of people doing that.
I think
Facebook ads is just over time. It's just getting crazy and ridiculous with the ad spend, and they've been taking advantage of that. And they just keep bumping the scale up, just keep doing it.
Oh yeah.
You think it's going to go down after election tomorrow? I don't know.
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I think it's still going to be playing around. They're like, we're here now. Let's keep it going. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So again, like with Amazon, it's working that ad spend to work in your favor to build your keyword ranking too. But we talk about all of that in the course about how to do that and how to get the right people to build those funnels for you.
I love it. So Janice, there are millions of products on Amazon, right? I mean, you got the list goes on forever, and you could probably find anything that you're looking for. How do you find a product that will stand out? And then how do you scale sales while maintaining a reasonable ROI?
Well, my big thing is you're not finding the next shiny object. Like you don't want to be launching the fidget spinner that's already been launched, right? You know how many garage fulls of fidget spinners there are out there?
Oh, I bet.
So like 4 years ago, right when it started up here, I think Seattle was the first one with regards to the reusable straws. That was massive up here 4 years ago. Well, I was down in Costa Rica with my family. You can see my pictures behind my head here. Love Costa Rica. And my daughter, who was 10 at the time, says, hey, mom, do you notice something weird around here? Right? And she's like, there's no straws. And so we really started researching that. And so we brought the No Straw Challenge to Canada. And the big thing about the No Straw Challenge is it was just starting on Amazon, but we had the story, right? And we made it different. My daughter is a unicorn. She loves unicorns. So we launched unicorn straws. My son designed the packaging. He did the logos and everything. So people really want to know who they're buying from now. They want to know who they're supporting. They want to know the story behind the products. And they want to know if the product is authentic and genuine. And authentic and genuine, I mean, who's the person behind it? Who's the company? What do they stand for? What do they do? So we gave money back to help save the turtles and everything like that with that brand. And we scaled that brand massively. It was amazing. And we ended up with 13, 14 SKUs going on. Right. I'm at the point right now, though, where I'm running my numbers. And I think this is important. Don't fall in love with your product brand, because it may run its course and you're going to have to really take a step back and say, okay, is there too much competition on there? And has the product become too inexpensive that you're going to have to wean off the brand and start another? So that's how I find products. It's the big one is finding the perfect product for you. Like I'm not, like for me, I'm not finding Clint's perfect product. I'm not going to be launching Andrew's perfect product, right? My husband is into cars. He loves fast cars. And that's what he does as a living. He builds fast cars. I am not going to be selling car parts because I don't get it. I have no clue about that. So he can go online and become the character behind car parts. I can't. But he asked me to talk about the No Straw Challenge. Sure. And then we started a new brand a couple years ago because, again, as a police officer, I hate the smell of pot. Like, I can't stand it. It makes my nose itch. In Canada, it's legal, right? Like, it's everywhere. And you can really smell if someone walks past you with a bag full of marijuana in their pocket. You're like, this stuff stinks.
Like driving down the highway in Colorado or something, you can just smell it. Yeah. Right on the highway.
On airplanes here. You can carry it on airplanes, right? In Canada, domestic flights, because it's just like alcohol now. So we launched No Trace Bags. I'm like, well, there's got to be a way to stop this, right? So people don't get these judgmental looks and everything. So I can tell the story behind No Trace Bags. And we have a whole line of smell-proof bags that we launch, but it's selling them off of Amazon, on Amazon, and through YouTube and telling the story. So again, I don't know, Clint or Andrew, if you guys can sell smell-proof bags, but I have no problem doing it and telling that story. So it's finding a product line that's perfect for you and then making it premium. How are you going to make it different? Whether that be packaging. And again, people perceive items as more valuable if it's got premium packaging, if it's got something extra put into it, if it's got the story, they know who they're buying from. They'll pay more money for it, right? Yeah, so that's what we talk about is finding your perfect product, not the person down the street's perfect product, because they're going to be different. And then finding that product and building a product line off it, right? So if you've got the packaging and everything like that and that product's successful, and then, like, for example, I talk about tea. I love tea. So if I launched a product line called the Tea Maven and I launched these really cool teapots, well, what goes with teapots? I'm going to need teacups. I'm going to need to-go cups. So it's just building that product line and operating off the success of that first product.
Mm. Yeah. So that's very interesting. Yeah. So in order to differentiate, do you ever go down the route of custom product development, you know, so I have a product development consulting business myself. People come to me with ideas. They want to develop something totally unique from scratch. And you know, some of them are like slight departures off of what's already out there, but most of them are really just completely unique. Do you ever go down that route or, how do you, you know, or are you really looking for a product that's already been developed, already been, you know, is already in manufacturing?
So I want to go down that route because there's some great ideas out there, but a lot of the products exist, but they need tweaks, right? It's like if I'm in the kitchen and using a potato peeler and I'm peeling and I scrape my knuckles, I'm like, there's got to be some way to stop me scraping my knuckles with these silly things, right? Can I tweak this somehow? And then it's finding the right manufacturer to work with to work on those tweaks and to get those in place. So I do a lot of tweaking and adding things to the product to make it better.
Gotcha. Okay. But you're able to work directly with the manufacturer for that.
Yes. And that's the key thing about building your relationships with your manufacturers.
Yep. Yep. And finding the right manufacturers, because some won't do that. I've had, I'd say 95 to 98% of my communication through Alibaba, just to source, like, let's say I'm working on a unique hair dryer. I'm, I, you know, we want to redesign everything about the hairdryer except all the internal components. You know, we just want to buy that. And it's amazing how difficult that can be. You know, they're like, no, we just want to sell you the complete hairdryer. This is what we have. And I've just gone back and forth and back and forth so many times. It can be really frustrating. So once you find somebody though that understands it and gets it, and they're like, okay, yeah, we can do that. We can just make a slight modification, or, you know, once they understand too that you're not trying to in some way rip them off. Like, you'll buy, you know, you just want to buy a part of their product, but not the whole thing. But yeah, it really does come down to finding the right manufacturers to work with, and then, you know, doing as much with them as you possibly can.
Yeah. And really communication with them, right? Ask how their family is, ask how life is going. Like right now I deal with a lot of them have employees in the Philippines. They just got smoked with a typhoon, right? So it's really caring about them. If you show that you care about them, they're going to care back, and they're going to do that little bit extra. Like, I brought in boats last year. Boats off of Alibaba. I found the right manufacturer and we tweaked the heck out of it. Right. I'm like, I want this, this, and this, and this. And these were like $10,000 boats we were bringing in. Right. But it was exactly what we were looking for. Right. Because we needed them tweaked for the Canadian winter. Right. And it's not all ice and snow up here. We boat all year round in Victoria, by the way. But I wanted them tweaked. There's certain things I wanted for these inflatable boats that we were. Yeah. So it's really tweaking it and making it different that way. So, but I love what you're doing, Andrew, developing products, because I'm sure, and I think this is a key what I tell people who are looking at launching products, is please start, because that product idea that's in your head is probably going to make my life a lot easier.
Yeah. Right?
So please get it out of your head and stop procrastinating and just launch. Even if it's not exactly what you're looking for, get it out there and then start tweaking, right? Take that. So I love what you're doing. If you're launching or developing products that don't even exist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. And I do tell my clients to, I definitely have to remind them that they can come out with a new iteration, and they should, because they'll, you know, products that are constantly coming out like phones or GoPros or, you know, or whatever, like they're never static, you know, there's never just launch one product and then that's it forever. But usually I suggest that they get the simplest thing out there. The simplest thing that does, you know, that has at least, you know, the minimum requirements. So I always, if you can pack more features in, if you can, you know, it doesn't really cost you anything extra in development or manufacturing. That's great. Get as much as you can, but definitely don't. I've had some clients that are just stuck on features that I don't think are going to sell even one more unit, but they just think it'd be cool. And it just, I'm like, get some traction, get this thing out there, make some money. And then if you want to come out with a different iteration, you know, you can do that later.
Yeah. And that's where your email list comes in important, because I don't launch products right now without I send it to my email list and say, hey guys, love you guys. You're helping me build a brand, because suddenly they feel part of it. Right. These are my 10 products I'm thinking of launching. Which ones do you guys want? Right. Pick the top three. And if you have like even minimum 100 people, usually I get a response of about 400 people, which is awesome. When they rank it, there's my product lineup right there of what I'm going to launch next. So when I launch that product that they've chosen, I hit them up and say, hey, it's out. Thank you guys so much. It's up to you. It's thanks to you that I was able to get this product out. Well, you know what happens with my sales? Because they were a part of developing that product.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect.
I love that. And yeah. Do you send that out to your entire email list, or do you segment list depending on, you know, how do you do that?
My whole list gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have those.
You're like, oh, that was a great idea. And that was number two on my list that I wanted. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't rule awesome. Anybody, you shouldn't rule anybody out. Cause when it comes to money and they can and possibly converting, if they're on your email list, they're on your email list for a reason. And even if they rank whatever you came out with the last thing, you know, it's like, well, it's new. I could use it. let me go ahead and buy it. You know, I know at some point you're going to come out with a thing that I said, hey, that was number one on my list, right?
Yeah. Email lists are funny because everybody says, well, you should clean out your email list every so often. But I was listening to a podcast. Who was it? I can't remember. I think it was Stephen Dollarson's. And he says, my email list grows and grows and grows. I never weed it out. The only way I weed it out is either they're going to buy from me or they're going to unsubscribe. I just keep contacting them.
That's it. Yeah.
Buy or unsubscribe.
Exactly. They'll weed themselves out. Yeah. Absolutely. If they don't want to be on it, they'll just drop off and that's it. As long as it's not, as long as you're not, your unsubscribe rate isn't too high at one time. It can't be to where you're going to get flagged by the email platform, but you know.
Well, I write emails like I'm talking to them, and I've had people come back and say, I don't know if this is actually an automated email or I'm actually talking to Janice, but.
I think that's key. I think it's not always easy to do. It's funny because we write emails sort of sometimes especially when you know you're writing an automated email. I've done this before. I write it like it is an automated email. And then I really have to think about it. Like you're not writing it to a group of people. You are writing it to just one person and narrow your focus. I think that helps you
continue to foster that relationship. Same thing with,
right.
Hey, don't remove anybody, or hey, let them know, asking them that question of, hey, these are what I'm thinking about releasing. Go ahead and rate and see what product you want. Like, again, you're continuing. If you speak to that one individual or make them feel like they're getting spoken to, they know it's not in their mind, they know in their head that, hey, this is not mass generated. She's actually talking to me or he's actually talking to me. And it makes them again feel more part of the journey, more part of like they're having some buy-in in what you're doing. And that's what a lot of people miss out on, right? Again, like you just said, Andrew, and I've been guilty of it too, to where you build an email out and automate it and you read it and you're like, really? Would that like really
get me?
You go
would back I be
like,
excited about that?
Terrible. Like, what am I doing right now? Like, you can actually tell that like they don't even know it's coming from whoever did it. They think it's a robot and it can lose its, luster and just continuing to have that relationship in mind. It's always about building that relationship. How can I have that extra touch point so they still know that I care about them? Because if you don't care about your clients or the people that are actually paying you to have one of your products or services, I mean, you're missing out on a huge, huge opportunity there. And I would just advise everybody to do exactly what Janice is doing and continue to reach out and make it as human as possible.
Well, they're not going to care about you if you don't care about them. People are funny. They're going to know, right? And again, the keywords you said there, Clint, is buy-in. You have to create buy-in. And you know what I do with my emails sometimes, Andrew, is I dictate them because it comes up exactly like I talk. And sometimes you're like, that's how I talk. But if I dictate them and drag in dictation or something, puts them into words, when someone reads them, they're like, yeah, that's how Janice talks. Right. So it's a lot more authentically in emails. And I use words like I'm not going to use big words that I would never use in my own language myself. So I really edit my emails saying, but I actually say that.
Yeah. Yeah. If I were trying to explain this to somebody in like conversation, how would it come out? Because that's always the best way to communicate something with somebody is in person, face to face. And so however you do that, you should do it in an email. And then that also leads to doing more video like you said you do, because it adds a more personal touch. So you can see the person who's selling the product and you can, or service or whatever it is, and you can really understand, them, connect with them, hear it directly from them. So
exactly. People don't want to hear about your products all the time. So let them in a bit of your personal, tell them what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every so often my email has nothing to do with my products, but it will say, hey, everybody had a great weekend this weekend, went out and caught some crab, but let me tell you a funny story, right? And I'll tell a funny story about what happened out there, right? Like something happening. And so they're like, oh my gosh, Janice is so funny. And you almost become like their friend.
Right.
Right. And people want to buy off their friends.
Yeah. they're more likely to share that kind of thing too. Like, oh, you got it. This, you know, this person's so funny. They've got this, you know, check out this hilarious story, or, you know, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And we learn from stories we have all through our lives, right? So sell with a story. That's what we remember, right? I don't want to know all the features of a product. Tell me the story behind the product. Build on my emotion, because I buy with emotion. I'm a very emotional buyer. And if you tell me a story about it, I'm going to remember it better than, oh yeah, there's a Velcro closure that makes sure the smell that, oh yeah, there's a really great zipper. Who cares, right? Tell me a story about it. So once I had this and I used this Velcro closure, and just, and this is what happened with the closure. It stopped everything from coming out because there was a, I don't know, there is a police officer stopped me at the time and I didn't want them to smell it and blah, 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 blah. Tell the story.
Exactly. I love that. So Janice, you help clients develop or generate sales on their own platforms, but you definitely, it does seem like you focus on Amazon, which I definitely understand, especially selling products on Amazon myself. But are you ever concerned with putting too much emphasis on a platform like Amazon? Because at the end of the day, you don't own that platform. You know, you have some control over it, but you definitely don't own it. So are you ever concerned about that?
Well, this is what we talk about quite a bit in the course, is you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, but you don't want to try and launch on all these platforms at once. Get one right and get it working and then work on something else. So that's why I use sales funnels. I have an e-commerce website. We do Facebook and everything like that, right? So we have different platforms selling. And I was actually really glad this happened, because I don't know if you experienced this also, Andrew. During the pandemic, Amazon shipping went to, like, it was horrible. It was like 40, 50 days it was taking for some of my items to ship out.
Yeah, so, it was a little bit weird. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was not as bad as like our, you know, if we're shipping through our account, but it did get a little goofy. And, you know, costs were all over the place and still are. I mean, we're having trouble with our international shipping because it's just more than, you know, more than we're expecting. So we're having to cover the difference in some cases. Actually, we're just shipping a few racks. We sell bamboo racks for surfboards, skis, bikes. And somebody from Switzerland ordered 3 racks, and our standard shipping to Switzerland for that weight, or for that, for that cost, we do it by cost with Shopify, and it came out to $78. The actual shipping though was $178 or $150 or something. So, and because they ordered enough, we're just going to let this one slide. You know, it's just one of those things. But shipping is just crazy right now.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to suck it up. But I always, like, that's when I'll take that story and I'll talk about it, right? Like, in the entrepreneur life, that's an amazing story right there. The entrepreneurs need to know, right? Right now, what's happening with shipping, right? Especially by air. So I'm doing everything by sea right now just to bring my product in. But by air right now, it's through the roof. But I thank gosh that I had a warehouse in the States that was shipping stuff for me also, so I could get by that whole Amazon slowdown that was going on. So, but yeah, no, I do other sales funnel or sales channels, but I'm big at saying, hey, get one sales channel right first. Right? And then the other thing is, people, I don't know why people always want to try and trick Amazon. Like, hey, people, it's Amazon's game. If you want to play the game, follow their rules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, the house wins. It's them. I mean, exactly. What do you see people trying to do to try and trick it?
Right now, Amazon, for new sellers, Amazon has the, you're only allowed to send in 200 units, 200 product, right? Everybody's trying to get around it. I'm like, why are you doing that? Because you're endangering your business and your income. Because Amazon will say, you broke my terms of service, you're out. So don't break Amazon's terms of service, right? Play their rules.
Yep. So
that's my big one right now.
It can be frustrating. I mean, I've told Clint this before, but, you know, selling on Amazon can definitely be frustrating. It's, listing, our products have been relisted randomly as toy and put in a new category as toys. Yeah. And then for some reason, I can't go in and change the category from toys because it requires some, like, some permission that I don't have. Even I'm like, yeah, it's so bizarre. Some of the things that happen with it, but you just sort of have to suck it up and go along because I mean, you can just, I mean, the power of it obviously is that like we've just posting a product on Amazon, you're usually going to get sales. I mean, it's not going to necessarily be a ton of sales organically, but if you set the listing up right, you know, you've got nice pictures, you've got a good description, you've got everything kind of set up pretty well, you're probably going to get sales, you know, and then you're hopefully going to get good reviews and your rank is going to increase or over time it just snowballs. So it makes so much sense to play by their rules and do their own, you know, do what they require. But I really like what you're doing with the email list, because at the end of the day, we all want to have as much control as possible. And it is kind of crazy, but the only thing that we actually do have full control over is that email list.
Yep.
Like that's it. We don't have control over Google. We don't have control over Facebook. Don't have control over Amazon. Don't even have control over the platforms that we sell on, like Shopify. Like Shopify could go out of business tomorrow, and then we're going to find another one, right? But the only thing that we really have is that email list. So it's important to build that.
People buy businesses for the email list. There's no value in business, but that email list is massive, right? That's the person's currency that they're buying the information with, is the email list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
And I think you should just take the approach of control what you control, right? Like, and don't, again, suck some of this stuff up and move forward. Like if you're using Amazon, if you're using Facebook and doing Facebook ads, if you're doing any of this stuff, you have to play within that bubble or play their game. And if you don't, then stop using it and don't complain about it. Right. But at the end of the day, it is frustrating, and I get it from time to time, right? Like if your ad doesn't run on Facebook, or if Amazon, you know, again, the platform could do whatever it wants to do, like list your thing in toys, and you're like, it's not a toy, you know, why is it here? And now I don't have any control over this. Now I have to contact support or do whatever it is because I don't have the magic access to change it, you know. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things, again, go through the process, and if you can't change it, then your product is going to have another listing, and it's going to be under toys if you want to sell on Amazon.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. However it sells. Hey, I don't care what exactly. It's categorized at, as long as it sells.
All right. So Janice, through your entrepreneurial journey, from the highs and lows, I mean, we all experience as entrepreneurs, and sometimes some of us take it and run with it. Some of us, it hits us hard and we don't know how to act. But what has been the most difficult thing for you about being an entrepreneur to date?
There's a couple things. So I have launched failed products before, and it's hilarious. And that's just the stuff I've learned from it, going, really, Janice, you didn't do the research. So do you guys know Fortnite? I don't know Fortnite. I'm a mom, but I have teenagers who, for when Fortnite came out, it was like, oh, Fortnite, stuffed llama. I don't know. It was weird. You're addicted to it. So I was like, entrepreneurial mind, right? How can I make money off Fortnite? Well, I should have said, I bet Fortnite has really expensive lawyers.
yeah, exactly.
So I launched hoodies, and I never even asked my son if, well, maybe Fortnite, they short form the word to fort. Maybe that's cool. It's not cool. They don't do that, right?
Okay.
I launched hoodies that said fort, all done in Supreme logo, right? Supreme writing. And I sold about half of them, right? I think I launched 500 at the beginning, but of course, didn't do the research, didn't ask my kids who's in the bedroom down the way if this was cool, didn't run the numbers, didn't do anything, and launched these sweatshirts. Sold half before I got some really, really nice letters from lawyers. Cease and desist, blah, blah, blah. I was like, ooh. So then it's the cost of having to pull the product back from Amazon, especially if you're in Canada and the stuff was in the States. So getting it back to myself, which can get a bit interesting. And having all these sweatshirts sitting there in your office or your shipping container or wherever you store things, going, well, now what do I do? Because it's a sign of failure, right? You're sitting there in front of you. No, and you've seen them every day. So it was figuring out how to get rid of that failed product. And eventually I just kind of drove them all down to Value Village or Salvation Army and just donated them. I said, enough. I just need to get them out of my sight. So there's stuff like that. And you really beat yourself up about it. And it took me a couple months actually to say, okay, but wait, what did I learn from this? And now I actually did a whole YouTube video talking about these failed product, because it's like, what do you learn from it, right? It's going to happen. And then the other thing about being an entrepreneur is it's lonely, right?
It is. Right? Yep. Yeah, it definitely can be. Yeah.
I have a team that I meet on Zoom and everything, but you're making the decisions. You are the buck stops with you. So what decisions are you going to make? Who are you going to talk with? And when you say that you're an entrepreneur, people are like, you're a what? Right?
Yeah. What does that mean? How does that work? You know,
life. So it's finding the right people to talk to and liaise with and bounce ideas off of. And Amazon sellers, they're weird. I'm sorry. No one talks about the products they sell. Like, they're so protective over it. Like, you go to an Amazon conference or something, they're like, I sell in supplements. Well, what do you sell? Tell me, right? I'm not going to copy it.
Right, right. Well,
I want to learn from you.
That's the thing. I think if you're so afraid that somebody's going to copy or sell the same thing, like, it's going to happen. If you're not able to protect. Yeah, so exactly. And it's, you know, there's so many Me Too products out there, you know, where, like, I think it's kind of funny when, you know, there's hundreds of people selling the exact same thing, and all they're doing, their entire strategy is to get the buy box, or, you know, get up there, you know. And it's like, when there's that much competition, it's like, why are you doing that? You know, I feel like the ROI can't be that great. And not everybody is doing it, you know, is selling on Amazon or even other platforms in a way that's sustainable too. So people have to be very careful of that, you know, that they hear stories of somebody launching a seven-figure business on Amazon, and it's like, cool, but how much did that cost? You know, did you sell $1 million in a year and it cost you $950,000 to sell that? Or, you know, so I think it's a little bit tricky. There's so much noise out there about, you know, online sales, and sometimes it can feel defeated because you think, man, these guys are killing it over here. And they're making it look so easy, but you really just have to, you know, stay in your lane, focus and do your thing, because you don't know exactly the full story of what everybody else is doing.
Well, that's exactly it. When people are starting to pull up sales charts, right? Yeah. Okay. You put up your sales charts, you made that much, but how much did you spend?
Yeah. That's always, yeah.
And that's why I promote building a brand, right? Like, I love your surfboard rack idea and your bike rack idea, because you're building a brand on the bamboo racks, right? You can build on those racks. Like, what else goes with it? The straps, the heck, you can even get into surfboards and stuff like that, which would be kind of cool, but it's a hard market.
Yeah. One day, maybe.
Exactly. Bike racks, everything racks, right? And I'm guessing it's eco-friendly, being it's a bamboo. So you're hitting that market, which is awesome, but you're building a brand on and off of Amazon. Amazon is purely a selling platform for you. You're building a brand that you can sell later on to the highest bidder, right? Because we all have an exit strategy. So when my exit strategy comes up, I'm like, I'm out. Here's my company. Here's my brand to sell. Let's maybe start another one and start building that up. Mm-hmm.
Love that. Yeah. So it's good to know. It sounds like you know exactly when you're ready for your exit.
Well, I am moving onto a boat right now.
Okay. So that's the exit.
No, you know what? This is so much fun. The policing is a tough one because I want to leave, but I get a really nice pension in a year. Right. So it's ride it out, because you don't want to give up that pension. Basically, I'm riding it out. And then once I retire, this is totally full time, and it's fun, and it's all automated, and it doesn't matter where I am. As long as I have my laptop and Wi-Fi, I can work.
Yeah. But you're setting yourself up for success too, though. I mean, you see what I'm saying? You're transitioning from one lifestyle, obviously, but you're currently in both of them, and doing both of them almost, I would say, full time, because whenever you get the time to do it, you're doing it. And so, yeah, I mean, the pension from your retirement as a police officer is going to be awesome. And then the automation from what you got going on the e-commerce side is just double awesome, right? Then you're hitting it, and now you're done with one of them. You're not even having to focus on that. Not even have to worry about suiting up, are chasing anybody or doing any of that stuff. You can just sit back and relax and think of the next thing that you're going to put out or develop the next thing that you're going to put out while this thing is going on. And it's just, you're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm excited for you. And I think it's going to be awesome how you've set everything up for you also to be successful after you retire and to continue on forward and moving forward and continue to do something you love to do. That's really huge, right?
Well, I'm excited for you guys just because I wish I had got into this at your age. Seriously, right? It's like, policing is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I loved policing. I think at, what are you guys, late 20s, early 30s?
Late 30s.
Yeah. Okay, late 20s. See, I went traveling and saw the world for 5 years before I became a police officer. But if I had known about this whole entrepreneurial journey, I would have glommed right onto it, which is why I'm excited for my 17-year-old, because he's watching this, right? He's like, okay, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get a computer science degree. I'll get my MBA, but I'm going to start building this while I'm doing that.
Right? Yeah.
He's the opportunity out there. And that's why I'm excited about this generation coming up, because the ideas they have and what they can put out there is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wish I had kind of started. Well, I actually did start early. I did start, you know, thinking of all this stuff, and I started Grass Racks. It's the board rack company. I started that a while ago. But I wish that I knew then what I know now. So I didn't really understand all this stuff. But just getting started is so important, because it can take, especially if you're just figuring everything out on your own, it can take a really long time to understand everything to the point where you can actually be successful. But if you want to accelerate it, I think it's really important to find somebody who can help you, on the journey and teach you what you need to know, a mentor, or, you know, somebody like yourself, Janice, who can, you know, really teach this kind of thing and teach people how to sell online. Because that's an amazing, college is great. You know, higher education is great. There's definitely, you know, a good purpose for it, but man, just starting a business and learning it from people who've already done it. There's nothing better. There's no better education than that. I think.
No. And the majority of us love to share information.
Yeah.
Right. I totally geeked out on Amazon and selling on Amazon and selling on other sales platforms. So I love sharing that information because it gives me that sense of fulfillment. So find someone who, yes, can be your mentor, who's in the trenches themselves, who has made the mistakes and learned from those mistakes, because it will get you launched and your product out there that much faster. And time is money, right? The longer it takes you to launch your product, the sales you're losing. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 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 Think of all those sales you could be making while you're sleeping. That's good motivation.
Oh, that's exactly it. Okay. Yeah. I love the Grass idea. You need to bring it. Are you on the West Coast? I haven't seen this in Tofino and stuff like that.
No, I'm on the East Coast, actually. We're in Clinton. I actually live really close to each other. We're right outside of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, you need to come West Coast of Canada, British Columbia, where we do awesome surfing up here. You may think we're crazy. But we are like a huge outdoor area. Grass Racks needs to be here and launched. I think Tofino, we have massive waves and everything. So
definitely. I think we've gotten a few orders from Tofino. I'm pretty sure I've seen it on there. And I think my dad was up there at one point and sent me a t-shirt from there, you know, from a surf shop. So, it's definitely seems like a really cool place. Cold surf, I guess, but still.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Wet,
snow hoods in the summertime and the ocean doesn't change very much.
Okay.
We're about 6 mil, maybe.
Yeah. Booties and gloves all year.
Nope.
No. Okay.
No hoods, no booties in the summertime. Wintertime, I'll put a hoodie on, but.
Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah. That's a good test. If you don't need that, you know, if your hands and feet are okay, then you're probably fine.
That's exactly it.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, Janice.
Africa, let's say that.
Well, yeah, I saw that picture behind you. I'm like, that can't be Canada. You know, that's
that's my husband, actually. He grew up in St. Thomas.
Oh, man. Okay.
So he loves surfing. So we usually try to go to Costa Rica every year, except, of course, this year, because the whole year is weird.
Oh, yeah.
He's American and, again, grew up in the Virgin Islands. So he loves surfing. So Tofino is a bit cold for him, but we try to go to Costa Rica and do some surfing for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to get that. I haven't been to Costa Rica yet. So really? I have to, yeah, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh, you won't want to leave.
So that's the thing. Yeah, even any warmer weather place, even like my wife and I were just down in Charleston this weekend. We did a paddleboard race for Halloween, which was really fun. But, you know, just a few hours south of, you know, North Carolina, of where we are in North Carolina, it's palm trees and it's 10 degrees warmer than it is here. It's like, you know, it's so nice. We're just like, man, we got to live at the beach. So one day. Right. Yeah.
Thing, right. With developing brands like you're doing, right. You're
exactly
you're getting to the point where you can live the life you want.
Exactly. Yep. That's definitely the goal.
Yep.
Well, Janice, I think we could definitely talk about this stuff for a long time. It's been great talking with you about it. But as we wrap up this episode, if you could only leave our audience with one piece of advice, what would that be?
I think what I keep telling people is you're only one product away. Away from whatever you want it to be, you're only one product away. So please get that product idea out of your head, because again, it's going to make Clint, Andrews, and my life probably a lot easier. So get that product idea out of your head and just do it.
I think that's a perfect way to wrap this episode up.
Love it.
And from the both of us, Janice, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us and adding value in what we're doing on our podcast.
Awesome. It was so much fun. You guys are great. Hey, can I leave it something?
Yeah.
Reviews are extremely important, people. Put a review for these guys. They're doing awesome, awesome value for us that they're giving. So drop a review to wherever they need it. And yeah, that's all I say. Reviews are awesome. Do it.
Thank you so much, Janice. Yeah, it was awesome to have you on the show and talk to you about everything. Guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Janice is working on, check out ecommercequeenbee.com. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
And with that said, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.